You know, there's a way that people can really get you to take notice of things. And one of those things is to ask questions. It puts people on edge sometimes. I remember I was preaching at a church years ago, and their Sunday school teacher had not been able to show up. So I said, okay, well, I'll teach the Sunday school class. And I went in, and we opened our books, and I asked them a question. And they go, well, we don't do that here. You don't do what? Our teacher doesn't ask questions. He just reads to us. We're like, no, that's not how we're going to do it. So, and you know what? I get that from Jesus, because Jesus asked questions all throughout the gospel. And he pinpointed the question to the exact need that people have. And that's what we're going to talk about for several weeks. One of the questions that Jesus asked was this, and we're going to look at today. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? So turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 10, verse 46. You know this story. It's the story of blind Bartimaeus. And we're going to look at this from the standpoint of what do we need to do to approach Jesus, to approach God, and receive His blessing. And then we're going to look at an amazing question that Jesus asked to a blind man stumbling towards Him one day outside Jericho. So stand, if you will, let's read Mark chapter 10, verse 46. God's Word says, "Now they came to Jericho. As He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Let's pray. Father God, we pray today that you will remove our blindness, that you will give us sight to see what needs to be seen. Father, that we may answer the question when you ask us what it is that you want us to do for us. Father, be with us in this next time and guide us and direct us as we understand what your Son did that day. And this we pray in His name. Amen. You can be seated. So there's no question that this is a story about spiritual blindness, and we can draw all kinds of analogies from it, and you can draw all kinds of stories from it. But I want us to look at it the way it happened, the way it actually was, and what lesson we can get out of blind Bartimaeus approaching Jesus. We're going to learn how it is that we need to approach Him. And then we're going to look at this amazing question. We know from Matthew that Bartimaeus was sitting at the gates of Jericho. He was not the only blind beggar. There were at least two blind guys. There were many other beggars sitting out there. But Mark focuses on Bartimaeus. And we know that Jesus is leaving town. He's leaving Jericho. That was about 15 miles outside of Jerusalem. It's the only recorded time in the Bible where Jesus went to Jericho. We know that it's the Passover season. Jesus is headed to Jerusalem. He's headed to Jerusalem to be crucified. So Bartimaeus, as a blind beggar, has got his plan really good in place. He's going to go and he's going to beg on this main road leading out of Jericho, headed to Jerusalem. And he thought, hey, if I go and I sit where all the religious guys are coming by, maybe they'll be more helpful to me. Maybe they'll be more giving to me. Maybe they'll be more favorable to me, have more sorrow, have more pity. Whatever it was he was thinking, he's like, I want to go sit here at the gate. I want to sit right by this road so that all these people can pass me by and I can beg from them like I've begged for a long, long time. He got up that day. I want you to think about this. He got up the way he always got up. He did not know that Jesus was coming by. It wasn't easy being blind back then. It's certainly not easy being blind now. So whatever he did, he got his clothes. Somebody had to help him get to the road and deposit him wherever he was sitting. He's wrapped up in his cloak, we know. That was for protection. He's there with a lot of other people. He's there with other beggars, and they've got to be able to be heard. They've got to be able to get their alms. So he's there just lined up. And he's thinking, yeah, it's the same day that it always is. Y'all ever get like that? Just another day? We miss the joy of the Lord sometimes. We miss the blessing of God when we think, oh, it's just another day. We should get up every day expecting the Lord to work. You're going to see that in Bartimaeus' life today. So look in verse 46. We see that blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, that's what Bartimaeus means, son of Timaeus, he sat by the road begging. Then we get into what it takes to approach Jesus, and I want you to see this. Number one, the very first thing that we need to be able to do is to believe that he is available to help. Why would you approach someone asking for help, wishing to receive help, when you do not believe that they have any ability to help you? If you come to me asking me to help fix your car, I got some bad news for you. You're not going anywhere for a very, very long time. Okay? Don't do that. But you come to me and say, hey, I've got this. I want to interpret this scripture. I want to talk about this principle of law. I can help you there. But cars are not good. I used to use building things. I can't use that anymore because we've done floors, pavilions. We're getting pretty good on that. But we have to believe that the person to whom we approach has the ability and availability to help. So look in verse 46 and 47. He sat by the road begging, verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to call out. And look what he said. He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So we can tell really, really quickly from just that one verse what Bartimaeus believed. He was a Jew. The son of David was a messianic title. It was a title given to the anointed one, the chosen one, the king, God's appointed savior. And Bartimaeus would have known Isaiah 61. This is how Isaiah describes the Messiah. The Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good things to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to console those who mourn in Zion. So Bartimaeus understands not only that Jesus is from Nazareth, he gets that historical fact, but he understands something a little bit more about Jesus. Do you think just the fact that Jesus was from Nazareth was going to do him any good on receiving mercy or receiving his sight back? No, because he could ask anybody from Nazareth about that, right? Hey, Joe from Nazareth, will you give me my sight back? Joe would have said, like me with a car, I can't help you there, man. But he asked Jesus of Nazareth, whom he acknowledged to be the Son of David, the Messiah, the one who would have power as prophesied to heal the brokenhearted, to restore sight to the blind, to heal the lame, to heal the crippled. The Son of David was the one who God promised would come and restore all of this to Israel. And for some reason, we don't know how Bartimaeus got this knowledge, but he believed that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was the Son of David, was the Messiah. He believed the report, as Isaiah said. Who's going to believe our report? Bartimaeus did, right? So when we approach Jesus and when we approach God and receive His blessing, we have to believe that He's able to do that what we're asking or that what we need. You ever think you've got a problem that is too big for Jesus? too special? Oh, I know, Jesus, you said that you can heal anything, but this is too big. This is cancer. Or this is a heart issue. He can fix that, you know? We didn't do our prayer list this morning, if you guys noticed, because I wanted you to hear the question Jesus asked first. So that when we do our prayer in closing, we're going to answer that question from Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? I want you to bless these people. And we're going to name them specifically. That's what Jesus says to do. But we have to believe that He's able to do it. And that's a very important first step. You have to believe that Jesus Christ has all power and all authority in His hands. Everything is within His control, and there is nothing too big or too small for Him. Jesus tells us He wants us to bring all of our needs to Him. And a lot of people say, well, it's too big. Then the other side is, well, it's too piddly. Jesus doesn't care about this. Yes, He does. Do you think that God's, you know, we kind of think of God like ourselves. We just got so much we can deal with, right? Don't ask me what we're having for dinner Tuesday night because I don't want to deal with that. God's not like that. We can bring any of those things that we think are too piddly to God, and we need to believe that He's available to help us. He's available to hear us. So we see that Bartimaeus believed that. We see the second thing now that we must acknowledge our personal need. Bartimaeus acknowledged his personal need. Verse 47, what did he say? He didn't initially say, "Restore my sight." Y'all get that? He could have said, "Son of David, give me my sight." But that's not what he said. What was his biggest need? His biggest need, according to verse 47, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You get that? And he began to cry out, verse 47 says. That word means yell or scream. So I want you to get the picture. He's sitting in a group of beggars, at least one other blind guy. They're all lined up on this road, and here comes this throng of people. They're walking with the Messiah. They're coming out of Jericho. They're all pumped up because they're going to Jerusalem. He's walking with a big multitude. So Bartimaeus thinks, how am I going to get to Jesus Christ? How do I get to Jesus the Messiah with all this going on? And he says, I've got to scream out, and I've got to scream out my need. My need, Bartimaeus knew, was for God to have mercy. And that's our need too. Hey, when God has mercy on us, everything else falls into place. But you understand that Bartimaeus' first request was not for his sight. His first request was that Jesus would have mercy on him. Mercy is unmerited favor. It's love that we don't deserve. It's grace. It's the same word. It's God's love being given to us when we don't deserve it and we don't do anything to earn it. What did Bartimaeus do to warrant Jesus stopping in his progression that day? What did Bartimaeus do to earn mercy? Anything? Not a thing. You guys, y'all awake? Come on. Did he do it? No, he didn't do anything. He sat there. He was a wretched beggar. That should be conjuring up memories of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the wretched beggars who know they can't do anything to receive eternal life. They get it all from me. Bartimaeus knew that. He said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." We see that same prayer if you remember the story that Jesus told of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee standing in front of the church. "God, I thank you I'm not like all these other men. I'm not a sinner. I tithe twice what I should. I'm just a great guy." He's praying with himself, the Bible said. And in the very back, with his head down, there's a tax collector. The guy who is basically the most hated person in society. And the Bible tells us in Luke 18, the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The literal translation is, apply your mercy to me. Give me mercy. Jesus said, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Son of David, have mercy on me. That's what Bartimaeus wanted. He wanted the same thing the tax collector wanted. The Bible promises us that the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. This is what Bartimaeus had. He had to acknowledge his personal need, and his greatest personal need was not sight. His greatest personal need was mercy. So what's going on in your life right now? If you have not received Jesus Christ's mercy, his grace, that is your biggest need. You think, well, wait a minute, I need a job. I need some financial stability. I need peace in my life. Jesus is going to ask you about those. He's going to do that to Bartimaeus in just a few minutes. But your greatest need is mercy and grace. Because without his mercy, without his grace, you are on a road to damnation. You are on a road to hell. And he says, I don't want you to choose to go there. But unless we ask for that mercy, that's where we're choosing to go. So we have to believe that he can help us. We have to believe that he's able to do that which we call out to do. We have to acknowledge our need. And then the third thing we need to do is we need to stick with it. We need to persevere with Jesus. Look at verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So you know what's going on. He starts yelling from the side of the road, and you can just see this. A bunch of people go, shh, be quiet. Shut up. Don't make a racket. Don't make a scene. Y'all see that? Got the imagery? And you know, a lot of people, when they face that opposition, they listen to the opposition. We face opposition each and every day. You don't need to believe in Jesus Christ. You need to believe in the world's way. You need to do it the world's way. You need to do it my way. No, we need to do it Jesus' way. And we need to stick with Jesus. So what did Bartimaeus do? He cried out all the more. That means he got louder and louder. He spoke, Matthew says, with zeal. He got more aggressive. He got louder, more insistent. He didn't listen to the people. He didn't let them talk him down. He simply said, I am going to be heard by Jesus. I'm going to have him meet my need today. And he would not be shut up. So when you're facing opposition and you are right, you've got your position, it's biblical, and you're facing biblical opposition, which you will, and you're opposed, you've got to decide, am I going to persevere with Jesus? Am I going to keep on talking all the more? Am I going to keep on praying all the more? Am I going to keep on doing what I'm doing all the more? Or am I going to fold my tent and go home? Now, I pray that each and every person here will say, I'm going forward. When you're thinking about whether or not you should give your life to Jesus Christ as a young person or an old person, when you say, I don't know if I'm ready to surrender, that's the world and that's Satan talking to you. Because the last thing Satan wants is for you to give your life to Jesus Christ, because he can't have you then. When you become a child of God, you're going to fight through opposition like you won't believe. First time when I was saved, trying to come down that aisle, I think I had a death grip on the pew, and I could have probably bit into the wood. Y'all ever been like that? You know, you're not going anywhere. And God just keeps talking and talking and talking, and you've got to listen. You've got to persevere. And God says, when you seek me with all your heart, that's when you'll find me. Not seek me with a half heart, not seek me when it's convenient, but keep on persevering. Seek me with your whole heart. So we got to persevere. The fourth thing we got to do is approach Jesus in belief. We've talked about that, but also in expectation. So how do we get this out of this verse? Look at verse 49. So Bartimaeus, he's screaming even louder. So Jesus stood still. Remember, Jesus is walking in this whole group of people. So he would have been probably in the center, masses of people around him. Jesus just stops. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And look at verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So we need to understand something here. First of all, Jesus stopped. When God stops for you, you need to be expectant. And you think, well, you know, he's too busy. No, he's not. He wants you to reach out to him. He's willing to stop for you at any moment in time. But we need to approach him with expectation. So what's this big deal about this garment? So understand, you know, he had his little tunic on underneath, and then he had his garment. They owned one coat. That's what it's talking about, is the outside coat. That was protection. That was his defense. That was everything he probably owned other than the nasty tunic that was underneath. But he said, "I'm going to the Son of David, so I'm getting rid of anything and everything that hinders me. And I'm going, and I know that I'm not going to be the same when I come back. I don't need that protection anymore. I'm going to have a different protection now. I know that he's going to heal me. I know that he's going to give me what I need. I know he's going to meet my needs." Paul says that we should pray like what we're praying for has already happened. That's how strong we should have that expectation. And you see what part of this is? It shows our faith in him. If we give wimpy prayers, he's not glorified when they're brought about as much. God work things out. Okay, that's going to bring him glory when he works things out. But what about this? "God, they've told me I've got stage 4 inoperable terminal cancer. Please heal me." And you expect it happens. And then when God heals you, what's your praise then? "I told him I had stage 4 terminal inoperable cancer and he healed me." You want to talk about a praise? You want to talk about something that gives God glory? That's the way we need to be. Jesus says, if you come to me, I'm not going to cast anyone out. You come to me and you tell me your needs, I'm going to do my Father's will. And if it is my Father's will that you're going to be healed, he's going to get that glory. So we need to come with that expectation. Again, you asked me to fix your car. I'm going to go out. I'll try. I'll be banging on things. You should not expect very much. But this is the Lord God who is dealing in your life. Do you expect him to work in your life? Do you expect him to work every single day in your life? If you heard about a plane crash in Brazil the other day, there were two guys who missed the flight. You know what they were doing? Getting a cup of coffee. Coincidence? No, there is no coincidence. I don't know what God's plan was for those people. I don't know what it was for those two guys. But I know God had a plan that they should not be on that flight. God has a plan for each and everything that happens to us, and we can pray expectantly that he will show himself and show how we can glorify him in each and every problem. "God, I don't understand this. I don't understand why I'm going through it. I don't know what you want me to do, but I want to glorify you in all that I'm doing. Show me how to do that, and I am ready." He will show you. So Bartimaeus stripped away everything he had, any hindrance, any roadblock, any barrier between him and Jesus Christ. And he went to him. Then we get to this amazing question. And the fifth point, number five, we need to request precisely what we need. So look at what happened in verse 51 and 52. So he had thrown aside his garment and he's coming to Jesus. But let's think about this. He's blind. Did somebody have to help him? Is he stumbling towards Jesus? We don't know that. You think Jesus knew he was blind? Oh, yeah. So he gets up and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, listen to this question, what do you want me to do for you? Some people read that and they think, well, what a stupid question. Wasn't it obvious what he wanted to do? No, because the very first thing that Bartimaeus said was, give me mercy, right? Don't forget that. Jesus has responded to Bartimaeus. He stopped because of that plea and he's given him mercy. Now he's asking him a question. What is it that you want me to do for you? And we know that Bartimaeus answered, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. If Jesus were to ask you that question right now, what do you want me to do for you? What would your answer be? Let me tell you this. He's asking that question. If you are a child of his, he's constantly asking that question. What is it that you want me to do for you? Jesus knows the need that's in your heart, just like he knew the need that was lacking in Bartimaeus' eyes. He knew Jesus was blind. He knows exactly what is in your mind. He knows exactly what's in your heart, but he still asked the question. Why? That's a question. Why do you think? Because we need to say it. Others need to hear it. Because when we say it publicly, when we say it to God and others hear it, God's glorified. You remember when Jesus was at Lazarus's tomb and he asked Martha and Mary, do you believe that Lazarus will rise again? Oh yeah, he's going to rise again in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And Jesus' prayer was this, Father God, we're going to do this in front of all these people so that they can know you hear me and that you will be glorified. That was what Jesus prayed. And then he turned and he says, Lazarus, come forth. You understand that? He could have simply, he wouldn't even had to snap his fingers. He could have just thought, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus would have been out of that tomb. He could have known, which he did, what Martha and Mary's problem was. You think, remember, he waited until Lazarus physically died to leave for Jerusalem. He wasn't going. He waited until Lazarus was physically dead, despite the fact that he knew Lazarus was sick, despite the fact that Martha and Mary had sent to him and saying, come heal. Because he knew exactly what they needed to hear. And Bartimaeus uses a word here, Rabboni. It's not just the word rabbi. It doesn't just mean teacher. It means, it's an emphasized word, it's an emphatic word. It means teacher and master. So look at the confession that Bartimaeus has made in this short little series of testimony. Son of David, he is the Messiah, Lord and teacher. That's what it takes to get mercy, folks. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead and you shall be saved, Romans 10:9. That's it. So Jesus asked this amazing question. What is it that you want me to do? Bartimaeus told him. Verse 52, then Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. So Jesus gave a blessing in light of Bartimaeus' faith that was expressed because he made the specific request for what he needed when Jesus asked. So when we're praying, Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Father, if it be your will, I want to be cured of cancer. I want to have my sight restored. I want all my kidney problems to go away. I want my child to follow up in your footsteps. I want my child to be saved. What is it you want? That's what you need to ask for. And when God gives you the blessing, when God answers your prayer, when God comes through, you need to say thank you, God, and acknowledge Him. Now, do we get everything we want? No. What did Jesus say? We pray in God's will. You know, James tells us, look, don't even tell people what you're going to do tomorrow. Say, if it be the Lord's will, I'm going to do this or that. We need to understand that our prayers need to be in God's will, but when they're in God's will, He's going to grant those requests. But He wants to be glorified, so He wants us to say exactly what we need. Then finally, the sixth step in receiving a blessing from Jesus is this. Number six, we follow Him after we have experienced His presence and power. Look at verse 52. Then Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So Jesus gave Bartimaeus the choice we all have. He didn't say, come my way. He didn't say, go to the synagogue and talk to the priest. He said, go your way. Go do whatever you want to do. Go do your own thing. And what did Bartimaeus want to do? He wanted to follow Jesus Christ. That's the sign of a true conversion experience. That's the sign of someone who has accepted Jesus Christ into their heart, who has experienced the blessing of God. He wants to follow Jesus Christ. He or she wants to follow Jesus Christ in His way. Bartimaeus could have done what some of the other people that we've seen in Scripture do. We're going to meet a man next week who did not know Jesus Christ, but who was healed. He left without even knowing what Jesus' name was. He learned later. He was so excited about being healed, he was able to get up and run and walk. But Bartimaeus chose to go Jesus' way. We saw the 10 lepers a few weeks ago who were healed, and only one of them came back and followed Jesus. Jesus said, I thought there were 10 of you. He said, well, yeah, there were. One came back. That's the one who experienced true blessing. Now look, they all got healed of leprosy. We know from Matthew that the other blind fellow was also healed of his blindness that day with Bartimaeus. But who got the real blessing? Bartimaeus got the long-lasting blessing because Bartimaeus had a change of heart that started with him asking Jesus Christ for His mercy. So as we close today, understand what's going on. There was one time and one time only in history when Jesus Christ was going to be leaving Jericho. I'm putting this in quotes, it just happened, close quote, to be this day when Bartimaeus has decided, I'm going to go sit up there because there's a bunch of people going to Passover. They're going to give me more money. He didn't have any idea that he was going to meet God that day. He didn't have any idea that his sight would be restored that day. All he knew was that he had a need for mercy and he had a second need for sight. Was he going to get those met that day? No, it's just a day like any other day. I'm going to go beg. Jesus disrupted his life. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. He disrupted his life. He disrupted the boredom of that day and blessed him because of it. Just think, if he hadn't gone that day, he would have not gotten the blessing. If he had listened to all those naysayers, "Shut up, Bartimaeus, we're tired of hearing you, man. You're getting too loud. Be quiet, you're embarrassing us." I can think of all kinds of things that people would say today to somebody who's doing that same thing. It was just like that back then. What if he'd believed that Jesus could do all kinds of things, but he couldn't restore sight? It was just too bad, you know, too much. He would have just kept quiet. All kinds of reasons Bartimaeus could have missed the blessing of God. But he didn't. He went to Jesus believing that the Son of David was available to help him. He believed that he was able to do it. He persevered. He went with expectation. He presented his need and he waited with expectation, and then he followed Jesus. So let me tell you this. Jesus is standing at the door right now. It says he stands at the door of your heart and knocks. He doesn't force his way in. I love that painting of Jesus standing at the door. You'll notice there's no doorknob on the outside. He's knocking. We have to open the door. That is the plea for mercy. Have you asked Jesus Christ to have mercy on you? Have you asked Jesus Christ to apply his mercy to your life? If you have not, you need to be like Bartimaeus. That's the first thing you yell out. You scream it out. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. And then Jesus Christ is going to ask you a question. And he will ask you this question for the rest of your life. What do you want me to do for you? He wants you to use that opportunity to glorify him. But he wants you to go with specific requests. He wants you to make known what you want. You know, Daniel prayed and prayed and prayed. He said, God, I need to understand. I've had this vision. I don't know what it means. I need to understand. And God sent an angel to him who walked in the room and, well, appeared in the room and said, Daniel, I'm here to answer your prayers. Sometimes that answer comes from the Bible. Sometimes it comes in prayer life. Sometimes it comes from another person. Sometimes it comes from a doctor going, I don't have a clue what happened, but your cancer's gone. There's a lady in Ecuador, thyroid cancer. She prayed. The whole church prayed. She went back for a second, well, third. She'd already had two CT scans. Cancer's all over. Went back for the third one. It's gone. Well, we must have messed up. We got to take this CT scan again. They took it again. Nothing. They have no explanation. They ask her, what do you think happened? She said, the Lord healed me. That's what she tells every single person that she meets, because they're all up to her. Maria, I thought you had cancer and you were going to die. No, the Lord healed me. Can you imagine that testimony? And people think, well, you know, that was just the doctors messing up. Twice. No. It's the Lord. And she prayed specifically. We can be like that, folks. We can enter boldly into the throne of grace. He says, bring your needs before me boldly. And don't listen to the opposition. Don't listen to the naysayers. You believe that I'm able to act. So if you've not put your faith in him, if you've never cried out for mercy, Lord Jesus, apply your mercy to me. Today's the day you need to do that. And be prepared for a lifetime of a conversation with him where it's give and take. Well, what do you want me to do? Well, I want to do this. Well, what about this? We don't always get what we want, but we know that when we're in a relationship with him, we get what's best. Because he works all things for the good of those who love him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the invitation to bring our needs specifically towards you. Father, we today pray that you will be with Jim Morgan with his heart surgery coming up. We pray that you will be with C.W. Wade on the health issues. We pray that you will be with Demi. Father, we thank you for what you've done in Vivian's life, in Brian's life, in Jerry Merritt's life, Father. Shane Halsted. He's not out of the woods yet, but Father, we pray for him too. Your son asked, what do you want me to do for you? Father, that's what we would ask you today. If it be your will that each one of these people come through their surgeries well, that they be healed, that they be restored to health, Father, we come to you expectantly, knowing that if this is your will, you will respond and it will happen, Father. There's no doubt. We thank you for the agency through which it'll happen, whether it's medicine or miracle. Father, the greatest miracle of all is bringing somebody from death to life, and we know that you will honor that request too. If there's anyone here who has never said, Son of David, show me mercy, apply your mercy to me, I pray that they would do that right here and now, that they can do it where they sit, they can come forward, but most importantly, that they do it, that they say, I do not want to be dead any longer, because your word promises that you can restore life to the spiritually dead. Father, we wait to glorify you. We wait expectantly for you to move. We thank you for what you will do in the lives of each of these people that we've specifically lifted up to you. We know that you will be with them, and we know that only good will come. We may never understand it. We may not understand it all, but we know that you will work in their lives in such a way that there will be more blessing than we could ever even think. Father, we thank you for mercy. We thank you that you loved us enough to send your son to die for us when we did not deserve it and we could not earn it. I pray that we remember that each and every day, Father, as we talk with you, we spend time with you, we commune with you, and we answer that question, what do you want me to do for you today? Have your way, Father, in this time of invitation. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.